The Old Testament reading for this morning is the lesson for this day. I want to share with you a little different translation. This is by a professor, a Hebrew scholar, who emphasizes some of the root meaning of the Hebrew words that were given to Ezekiel. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." The Spirit entered into me as he spoke to me and made me stand on my feet. Then I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to nations rebelling, who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have revolted against me to this very day." The sons, brazen-faced and hard-hearted, I am sending you to them, and you must say to them, "Thus says the Lord Yahweh." Then they, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious household, will know that a prophet has been among them. This word, this prophet being raised up, was at a time when the northern kingdom had been demolished and the southern kingdom was being held hostage by the Babylonians. And in this time, the people that we call the Israelites, the sons of Israel, God's chosen people, had turned to, one, other gods. They became polytheistic. They wanted to cover all their bets. So they had the gods for fertility, the gods for the harvest, and then the god for the people of Israel. And they just wanted to make sure they were safe. But they weren't safe, and it wasn't working. And some turned to intellectualism. They figured since they couldn't see God, couldn't hear God, didn't really know if God existed, therefore he wasn't. And they basically went to street smarts. You know what street smarts is? It's the survival of the fittest. It's the dog-eat-dog world. And the communities became cutthroat. And their crime increased. And they waged war against one another. And working together was out of the question because you only work together if it gets you ahead. And that's the way they were. And because they were so busy doing that, worship attendance in the temple, that decreased. And those that did go were only offering, you know, covering their bet. "Well, I better go to church, otherwise this God will get mad at me. But on Monday, I'll go to the Asherah pole, and on Tuesday, I'll talk to Malak," and on it went. And the people of Israel are described not simply as rebelling, but as a revolt. What's the difference? A rebellion is basically saying no. But when you have a revolt in the community, what happens is leaders are forced out and the rules get changed by whoever takes over power. A revolt is far worse than rebelling. When you hear of nations revolting, And we often call it what? A coup or a takeover or something like that. It is often violent and it is intolerant. Intolerant of whatever current leadership there is. And so sometimes leaders are exiled, sometimes they are executed. But a revolt gets rid of the existing authority. When the people of Israel are described not only as rebelling, but revolting, you need to understand, it's good to understand, that this means God was displaced in their life. It no longer became polytheistic to include God among the other gods, but this one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, was no longer in authority. Their authorities was anything they wanted it to be. And it became a vicious time. And God raised up the Babylonians to teach them a lesson. And the people of Israel ended up in captivity. And there was a remnant that still believed. There was a small number of believers. And Ezekiel is numbered among them. Others during this time, you have Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel. These are men of faith. And there were women of faith as well. But Ezekiel, in today's lesson, who we'll focus on, was called. And there's something interesting about the language here. In English, we have the phrase, whether the language is active or passive. And that means, where's the power coming from? If you were a patient in the hospital and you're getting physical therapy, the physical therapist will often say, now let me hold the leg, like if you had knee surgery, and I will move it. And yeah, your leg is moving, but technically you're being passive because the technician is moving the joint and carrying the weight of the leg. Well, in the Hebrew, when it says that Ezekiel was brought up to stand, it's talking about the Holy Spirit having entered him, and it is God's active power that is in play. It's not Ezekiel is standing up on his own and saying, okay, what next, God? Okay? It's not his strength, but it's an action of God, lifting him up, enabling him to stand. And to stand is a visual image of what it means to be convicted. It means standing for something. And again, that something is established by the one who made him stand. Ezekiel's not getting to choose what God says, what God doesn't say, or what God means. When God gives him the Holy Spirit, when this word is spoken, and the word comes with that Holy Spirit, there, the individual called Ezekiel is empowered to get up and empowered to have a conversation that is to hear God. And if you think about it, isn't that what happens for us? In our baptism, it's not the power of the water. It's not the power of the one pouring the water. It is the power of God granting the Holy Spirit that brings us to stand in God's grace, to have faith created in us, and to believe in God, whom we can't explain. It is faith that beholds His word is true, because that's God's word, and we accept it as such. And as we grow in years, as we continue in this word, we continue to stand. But there's the dilemma. History's repeating itself. As the children of Israel revolted against God, don't you think America is of revolting against God now too? In a sense, the laws of the land are not just a rebellion anymore. It's a revolt. It's to displace God. Not to be inclusive of God. That would be too generous. But it is to remove Him from His power, His influence, and His role in the lives of the people. You know, we talk about prayers no longer in school. You can't post the Ten Commandments. You know, even the courthouse out in the lawn can't have a nativity. There's all kinds of ways we have seen Christianity and the symbols and the message of it kind of shoved it aside. And now even marriage is being attacked in a great way. So what does that have to do with you? As Ezekiel lived in a time of revolt, you and I live in such a time. And it shouldn't be that we are frightened in our shoes, shaking in our boots. But instead, it is a time that we recognize the Holy Spirit has called us to stand. That we stand on God's word, for this is what the word of the Lord says. And we have a message for the world. But even that is becoming confusing because our biblical knowledge is decreasing instead of increasing within what is called the membership of the Christian church. We know more about our cell phones than we do about Scripture. We know more about the internet and how to surf and Google and everything else than we do the scriptures. We know where all the hot buttons are and the links and all the websites, but we can't find the books of the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? In our own way, we want to know how the world in the United States began to be a place of revolt. It was when God's people themselves rebelled by not being in the Word. It starts with our own example and our own model. When we don't have devotions and we don't share with the children the Bible stories. Because if you don't have examples in front of you of what it means to stand by faith, then all you have is the examples of everything else. Young people can quote the lines from Simpsons, from Beavis and whatever his name is. Do you understand? But they don't always know the scriptures. They know how to find something on Netflix, but they don't know how to find the gospel. Why? Because the adults around them are too busy. And the world hasn't changed. We are like the days of Ezekiel. But the church hasn't changed. In the sense of the real church, the believers in Christ. It is the believers who stand because God has called us to stand. It is those who know that, yes, we're no better, we're sinful by nature, but yet we know the truth and we proclaim the truth. And proclaiming the truth includes, like we did a few minutes ago, when we sin, we confess our sin. We don't stand before God going, "It's too bad, I don't care if you like it." We don't show our arrogance to God, we bring our humility. Because the word of the Lord convicts us. This, my words, my thoughts, were not good. And I know what's good because I know what I have learned from scriptures. In my case, my parents modeled it too. Are my parents sinless? No. But they are God's people. You who are parents, are you sinless? No. But you're God's child. And the children in your presence, the children in our Sunday school, is part of the family of God. And we need to pay attention to our mission. And the mission is that by the power of the Spirit, when we're exhausted, when we feel defeated in the flesh, yet we have to recognize we have a victory in our Lord Jesus Christ that cannot be taken away. We need to be able to be convicted, that is, by the power of God, to be able to stand and, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, say to King Nebuchadnezzar or those in authority, "Yeah, I got it. You think you're God, but I got news for you. You're not." And whether I live or die, it won't change that truth. We need to live by faith because God has called us to this faith. And the good thing is, it is so much better living by faith. One of the greatest examples of that is Paul. Paul was under arrest at least twice. He was beaten once. He was, pushed around and shoved. He was threatened many a times. He was bitten by a snake. He was shipwrecked. And many Christians today would go, "I've had enough. If this is God's way, forget it." But Paul endured, not because he's Paul, macho kind of guy. Paul endured by the power of God. You see, the power of God indeed strengthens us for the road, the journey. It strengthens us to stand when others consider what we're saying is not popular or no longer politically correct or even against the law. We need to stand. Not hostile, not arrogant, not lording it over people, not in your face, but just stand in a genuine sense of faith of what it means to be God's child. Ezekiel is that kind of prophet. He stood, he spoke to the people, and he simply told them what God said. And again, there were people that didn't go with it, and there were people that followed. That's always going to be true until Christ comes. There are going to be people who reject, and there are going to be people who believe. We don't have control over that. But what we do have is a mission. A mission to shine like people who believe. A mission to stand as people who stand on Christ. A mission to love because God loved us. We have a mission. Our mission statement about bringing people to Christ by being in Christ to people is about that mission. It's about speaking the truth, not in hate, but in love, because we care. Think of how many times, just maybe in your own growing up, your parents told you no. I lost count. You know, think about it. Did they tell you no because they despised you? Did they tell you no because they hated your guts? You know? When I was choking my brother, they told me no. You know? I wasn't supposed to do that. And I would get angry when I got told no. Did you ever get angry when you were told no? Should we be surprised that the people of the world get angry when we tell them this is what God's word says? It says no. And it says no because he loves you. We don't play with sharp things. We don't play with dynamite. We don't play with loaded guns. The answer is no, no, and no. Why? It's not because it's so, you know, God loves control. It's because it's harmful. And he teaches us again and again in his word, don't do that. Or as my mom would say, someone's going to get hurt. And this is what Ezekiel was given to do. In a time when the world around him revolted, wanted to replace God's leadership. And I think, you're just getting my opinion, but I think that word of the Lord that stands forever gives us the same mission. It's not for us to become politically correct. It's not for us to be socially acceptable. It's not for us to chime in with all the other churches that are acquiescing to things like abortion and same-sex relationships and the like. It's not for us to sound like the world with profanity. It's not for us to join the nasty, dirty sexual talk. It's not for us to be unfaithful in our marriages. It's not for us to be greedy. It's not for us. In other words, when God is saying no, 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 we recognize what it means for us to have the joy of marriage, to live in peace and content of plenty and want, to live according to God's word, and to confess our sins. We're not any better. The cross applies to us. But it also applies to them. And we want to tell them that Jesus said no. No to sin. And he took it upon himself, spreading out his arms. And he took the sin upon himself to die for that. So that you and I would have life. He says yes to life. No to sin. Do you know what our confusion is? And it's the same as Israel. We think sin is life. Do you understand that? The speed limit says 70, and you're going 90. This is living, right? We think sin is life. We think marriage is death. It's described as the ball and chain, right? Marriage is the oneness. That reminds us of the oneness in Christ. It's an example of it on earth. We think so many things that are really stupid. What we think. And God's word says no. And then it turns around and says yes. This is what God gives you. He gives you the peace that surpasses understanding. He gives you love unconditional. He gives you the forgiveness of sins. He gives you the hope of the resurrection. He gives you an eternal home when this home can fade away. He gives you all that you need for body and soul. Why would we ever want to revolt against that? But that's the sinful nature, isn't it? Ezekiel was called to tell people about the sinful nature and about the promises of God. The mission of the church today still stands. To tell people about the promises of the gospel and the dangers of our sinful nature. Let's bring people to Christ by bringing Christ to the people. The Christ not the world wants to elect, but the Christ of the Bible. Amen.